Blog Talk Radio.
Some blessings
that we have received and some answers, you know, some no answers that we have received to requests, to prayer requests. And, you know, we may wonder even, you know, why Yah allows bad things to happen to good people. It may cause us to question our faith, see when it is close to home. We may question, why didn't you answer? Why didn't you bring my petition to the front and grant it? Why was the answer no? We may question whether he hears us. We may question, you know, I think sometimes we may question our own righteousness in this. But we're going to look at, in the scriptures on this morning, at some people that Yah said no to. And it is all for his purpose, for his reason. And we, as individuals, have to understand the sovereignty of the Most High. He is in control of everything, and his will be done. And when we make a petition before him, his answer to us is not going to always be yes. We're not going to always be exactly what we want. And we don't know or may not know the reason why. We may not be able to understand it. We may not even see the purpose of the no. But Yah knows. And we have to always give that back to him that he knows. We can't let anything take our faith in him, because, you know, if we're all good and happy when he's blessing us, and when he answers our prayers and he gives us what we petition, and when he says no, then we don't want to believe in him, then we ourselves have a problem, and that problem is within us, ourselves. So we have to understand that the answer is not going to always be yes to our prayer request. But we make them anyway, believing that he is able. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that he's going to say yes every time. And so we want to look at that, you know, some situations in the scriptures on this morning so that we can walk in no. So that we can walk in the answer no. And not lose our faith, not question our own righteousness, not think that Yah does not hear us. We need to have that ability to walk in that way. So I want to go ahead and do our statement of faith on this morning. And let us go ahead and jump into this precept. And I might jump between this subject matter on this morning, this kind of like last minute, we have two definite precepts here. When Yah says no, and why does he allow good things to happen? I mean, bad things to happen to good people. And I think I'm going to try to deal with both at the same time. So I pray that you be patient with me. I ask the Most High to increase and me decrease. Let the people hear his voice in this matter. Because, you know, we get told no a lot. But, you know, when it personally affects us, we may start to question things. We may start to feel like, does he really exist? So those creep in. But we got to understand that in the scripture, the Most High has told a lot of people no. And I think some of them even more, you know, the Most High is not a respecter of persons, but when we read in the scriptures, if you're a man after the Most High's own heart, or if you are Messiah walking in the flesh and you make a petition to the Most High and he says no, then we got to understand that there's going to be times we receive no as an answer. And we have to walk in that. We have to stay faithful to him even in the no. All right, that being said, we have the ladies who cover their heads, men uncover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Blog Talk, in Pal Talk, on the internet in general, whatever country you may be in, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, whether you are in the Far East or the Middle East, whether you're in a European theater or in a of the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ in the English. On this morning, let us turn toward the east. Ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads as we do our statement of faith and we pray in. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. And I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you and we glorify and we lift you up, God, Elohim. For you are wonderful and you're marvelous and your ways are beyond searching out, Father. You are Elohim and you will do what you will, Father. And we just glorify you on this morning and we respect you, Father, for all that you do and all that you say, what you allow and what you disallow, Father. For you are Elohim, Father. And we just know that, Father, that there's a purpose and a will in all that you do, Father, to bring about good. And it's everything that you allow us to bring about good, Father. Hallelujah. And so we just want to thank you and bow down to you on this morning, Father. Our faith unshaken. Our mind unwavering, Father, for we know that you care for us and that you love us, Father. And so we just glorify you on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. All glory and honor and praise belong to you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah to your name. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength on today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you walk contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. Father, we pray that you would turn your eyes and your ears back to your people Israel and that you would hear our supplications and our prayers. Father, deliver us from this land of our captivity. Let your perfect will be done. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham, all that hear Messiah's voice, that they would come and they would obey your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 46. And we're going to read through 53. 46 to 53 on this morning. If we sin against thee, and as you know, I'm going to personalize this. So if you're reading along, just understand that I'm personalizing it because it just means more to me when I read it that way. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. The sounding of the shofar. It is Yah Sabbath, and we are commanded to observe.
music.
Come on, put your hands together just like this.
Yeah. know there's help for the heavy hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. You just gotta have faith. You just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow. For all your tomorrow, it's knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it, and you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith. You gotta have some faith. Searching for purpose. And we're going to be getting verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We believe this with all our heart, and we believe that, you know, we are able to come to the throne and petition the Most High when we are in need.
So we got to always keep that before us. Our prayer is our refuge. It's our security. It is our safety net. And we, you know, we pray always that the Most High hear our prayers. We pray that we cast our cares on him, for he cares for us. The weak and the lowly come to the rock of our salvation. We pray most of the time when we are in need, when we want something. Let's go to Psalm 62, the book of Psalms, chapter 62. And we're going to be getting verse 1 and 2. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. To the chief musician, to Jethun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon Elohim. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. So not be greatly moved. We walk in this. It seems until our prayers go unanswered, until we hear no. But this is the mindset that we have when we go before him, that he's going to hear our prayers, that he is our defense, that we won't be greatly moved away from him, that we won't lose faith, but we believe and trust in him in all things. We cast our cares on him. In our prayer, we need that when we are up against impossible odds. We need that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's get verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Prayer is a reminder that Elohim cares for us, and that we believe that he cares for us, and that we believe that he hears our prayers and our petitions, and that he's going to answer. We always want it to be in the affirmative. Whatever we ask for, we want it to be in the affirmative. But what if he says no? Then do we lose our faith in him because he answered us no? Let's go to Psalms 34 and 17, 4, and verse 17. And the word of the Most High reads, the righteous cry, and Yah hear it, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Do we feel like when the Most High says no, that we are not righteous because he said no? Do we feel like that we have failed in some way, didn't deliver us out of this particular trouble, or he didn't answer in the way that we asked, he didn't give us everything that we petitioned for? So we got to understand that prayer is not to move the Most High to our position, but to move us to his. In the Our Father prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will. We have to always pray for his will in a matter. So when we make a petition, we're asking him to consider what we want. But we have to move when the answer comes. We have to move to his position. And when he says no, we have to be willing to live in that. In that no, because all things work for the good. And it's to bring about his will and his purpose, even if we can't see it and understand it, even if it hurts us deeply because of somebody that we personally love. and that we're personally close to. I was sent a Facebook video of the young man, Caden, that we had been praying for him. We had been praying for him, believing in a complete recovery for him, that, you know, he had this, got infected with this disease that shut down his organs. And when we first heard of this situation, it was really in fear that this young boy was going to die, that he was going to die. His organs had started to shut down, so his heart had stopped beating anywhere near capacity. He wasn't pushing blood to his outer extremities. So I'd deliver him out of this and that he would live, but also we were praying and hoping for a complete recovery. And so when I watched this video this morning, because on yesterday they had to amputate both of his legs, and that is a horrific outcome. But considering where he was at and that his organs had shut down, starting to fail, and that the Most High spared his life, and he is still today living, talking, able to, he sent out this video and thanked everybody for their prayers. And when I listened to this video, it was so humbling that this young boy who had just gotten his leg amputated was thoughtful enough to thank everybody for their prayers. On the flip side of that, he could have not been here at all, because there was another young boy in the hospital at the same time as he had the same sickness. He didn't make it. So the very fact that this young boy can still be here and can still, you know, he can still talk, he still has life in him. The first prayer request was answered. And the greatest request, because he could be dead. And the fact that the Most High said no to a complete recovery, as far as him not losing any limbs. My prayer was that he restore him completely. And so the request to save his life was a positive, a yes, but the prayer to make him whole again, make him not be have to have anything cut off, the answer was no. And so as the mother, or as, you know, a family member, that has to be horrific to see a family member so young lose their limbs at such a young age. But as I said, on the reverse side of that, he could have not been here at all. And maybe in some small way, some people may prefer that, you know, may have preferred that that be the outcome, you know, rather than themselves personally may not have been able to deal with having their legs amputated. And then, so they can't see someone else having to have that done to them. But in the end, the bottom line comes down to, is the will of the Father. And do we believe that something good will come out of this? We don't know what could have happened in the future. We don't know if the Most High kept this young man from running to crime or anything like that. We don't know what his purpose is in this thing. But we made our petition. And we waited for the answer. So most of the time, no. We do often experience this answer in our walk with Yah, because we will petition for things because we want them to happen. We want things to turn out this way. And when Yah answers us in the affirmative, we want to praise him and glorify him and lift him up and magnify his name. But when he says no, then suddenly the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of disbelief, the spirit of, you know, you can't be my Elohim, you can't be my God, because you didn't say yes. The spirit of doubt will creep in. And so in the scriptures, we are shown that no matter what the answer is, in the prayer request, the one we make most often, thy will be done, is where we have to land always. Thy will be done. So we experience unanswered prayer. We ask and do not receive. We seek and we do not find. We knock and the door is not opened. At times, the doors to the throne seem to be barred to Elohim's children. We come before him, we believe in a righteous prayer, and it's like our prayer fell on deaf ears because the answer was no. And maybe the Most High doesn't want to spoil us, or maybe it's because he wants us to always look to him and understand that he's sovereign, and what we want, if it's not within his will be done. So we're going to look at some things. I think every believer who prays to the Most High has experienced a no at least once, probably more often than not. No. Let's look at some people that the Most High we know was with, but he told them no. Abraham was especially chosen by the Most High Elohim to receive Elohim's covenant, to enter into a contract with him. Abraham asked for Sodom and Gomorrah to be spared, entire city to be spared. He even tried to bargain with the Most High in his plea. If there be just one righteous man in these cities, spare the cities. Says, yeah, if there's one righteous, I'll spare the cities. Then what did he do? He had Lot to lead. Lot and his family. Now there's no righteous people in the city, and the Most High brings judgment because it was his will to bring the judgment. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. The book of Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to read 18 and 19 so that we understand that the Most High is dealing with Abraham. Abraham is his chosen. The Most High has blessed Abraham. He has given him victory upon victory. But then Abraham makes this request because of his nephew, Lot. So let's read this story. Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And Yah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my master, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you your heart, after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now these are three. He's meeting three men, but one of these men is the Most High. And Abraham hastened into his tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the herd. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, to prepare it. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of Lot. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Now the Most High has made a promise to Abraham years before that he's going to have a son through Sarah. Sarah gives him Hagar because she was not able to conceive. She was not conceiving. And so she gives him Hagar. Okay, now the Most High is coming to say, now this thing that I told you is going to come to pass in a year's time, next year this time. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She had stopped menstruating. Her menstrual had stopped. She was not able to conceive. She wasn't ovulating anymore. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My master being old also, talking about Abraham being old also, because Abraham at this time, his testicles have dried up. He is no longer able to produce semen. So this is impossible. He's not creating semen and she is not ovulating. There should be no children here between him and her. So we read this story and we understand the impossibility of it. And Yah said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of sure bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yah? At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not that you know, the Most High has accused her. And then she's going to go on the defensive. I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Let me walk you out. Let me walk part of the way with you. And Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham what my will is? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yah. Now this is what Yah is looking for in us, that we will command our children and our household to follow after him. He says, I know that I'm going to make a mighty nation out of him, but I know Abraham's going to what? Keep my way. And he's going to command his children and his household after him to do this, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Because if Abraham was disobedient, then the Most High would not have fulfilled this promise through him. He says, but I know that he's going to do this. And Yah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yah. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Are you going to destroy the good with the bad? That's why I said there's another priest up here. Why does Yah sometimes or oftentimes allow bad things to happen to good people? Sometimes he delivers us out of them. Sometimes he allows the bad to happen to us. Okay. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous men, 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So Abraham has started to make his petition. He says, hey, if you find 50, will you spare this place? Do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, it's kind of bold. But, you know, he's making his petition. You are the judge of all the earth. If you just destroy this place, and there's 50 righteous people in it, be it far from you to do this thing. And Yah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto Yah. I presume I have taken, you know, upon me to speak to you, which am but dust and ash. Who am I to be asking and talking to you this way? But I've taken this upon myself for the righteous to ask you this. I'm just dirt. You are the Most High. Peradventure, there shall be lack 50. Where if it lacks 5 people of 50 righteous, wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again. Because, see, the Most High knew there wasn't 50 righteous in there. And I think Abraham knew it too. Abraham like, well, wait a minute. If you find 5 less than 50, will you destroy the whole city and the 45? And the Most High said, if I find 45, I won't destroy the city for their sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not Yah be angry, and I will speak. Please don't get mad at me. Perhaps there shall be, peradventure, there shall 30 be found. Now, he didn't went from, oh, I skipped the part about 40. Never mind, let's go back to 29. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not Yah be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold now, I have taken upon me found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He continues to make this petition, as like we continue to make our prayers. We want them heard, and we want the Most High to move on our behalf. Abraham is wanting the Most High to move on his behalf and on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he keeps whittling this thing down. He keeps making his petition. He keeps speaking. And he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto Yah. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Now, again, Abraham is making his petition. He's got to have some doubts in him about what he's asking. Because, you know, what if there ain't 20? And he said, oh, let not Yah be angry, and I will yet speak once, this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And Yah went his way, and as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So Abraham has made his petition, hey, if you don't find 10, will you spare this place? Grant me my petition. Will you do as I ask? Yah said, if I find 10, I won't destroy this place. Let's go to verse chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of the Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my masters, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your way, because he don't know what they're there for. And they said, nay, no, but we will abide in the street all night. They came to observe, to see if it was altogether true what was coming up to the Most High. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. So he pleaded with them, no. Y'all come in and stay with me all night. Lot knew what went on in the street that night. He knew how evil this city was, these cities. Now, y'all don't stay out there all night. Y'all come in and stay with me, and I will do as I said. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, now they didn't came in, they didn't ate, and it's time to lay down, but before they can lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed or surrounded the house, both old and young. all the people from every quarter, old and young. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They're not wanting an introduction to these men to know them in a good way. They are practicers of sodomy. Now, it says, the men of the city, old and young. This was a common practice. This is where this country that we live in is headed. And judgment is going to come because of it, because we accept this act. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, we know that these men are here for, they want to have sex with these two angels. Because what Lot does, what they were there for, and said, I pray you. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, what's wicked about, if you just want to know somebody, if you just want an introduction to them, what's wicked about that? But he knows what their intent is. And he knows that when they say know him, it's written that way in the English, but they made their intent clear to him. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Now, this is his daughter. And he knows that these two angels, that they are holy. And these men want to try to sleep with these angels, and Lot is like, wait a minute, I can't let this happen. I'm going to offer up my two daughters so that you don't do this wickedness that you're trying to do with these two men, these two angels. I pray you bring them out. I pray you bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. They're up under my protection. They're my guests. And y'all want to come and forcibly take them and do as you please. This is what's in his heart. No, take my daughters instead rather than do this wickedness. And they said, stand back. Now the angel said, stand back. It's not the men in the town saying that. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand. Now the men said for Lot to get back. And I'm sorry, I misquoted there. The men told him to get back. They were going to come in. But the man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any besides, son-in-law, thy son, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of Yah, and Yah has sent us to destroy it. So they are there to look and see what happened, look and see what's going on. Now, they want to come in on us and have sex with us, and so we're going to destroy this place. Now, Yah already knew what was going on, and Yah already knew there weren't even 10 righteous in this city. There was only Lot and his family. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of Yah, and Yah has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters. Okay, baby, you can't make that noise. It's breaking my concentration. Arise, take thy wife. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, and said, up, get you out of this place, for Yah will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, we don't know whenever we're praying for something, we're praying for the Most High to do something. The Most High sends deliverance. The Most High was going to deliver Lot and all his sons-in-law and his daughters and his wife. But these men mocked. And remember when the Most High, if there's any doubt, the Most High says you won't receive what you prayed for. So these men doubt, and they mock. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, hurried Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So if Lot and his wife had doubted, and his daughters, they would have been consumed with the fire. Now, they are told specific things to do. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. Lot didn't hurry up. It says he lingered. Wow, what am I going to do, you know, what's happening? And the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of his two daughters. And Yah being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. There was some doubt in Lot's mind. And he was told to get up and leave in a hurry and take your wife and your two daughters with you. He lingered. But Yah had mercy, because Yah could have said, you know what? I told you to move, and you didn't move. But for Abraham's sake, I remove the righteous from the city, that he might bring about his will. And we got to always understand that it's about his will. Abraham made his petition. If there be 10 righteous, will you not destroy the city? But my will is to destroy this city for its wickedness. And I know you don't want everybody in there to die, and you don't want the righteous in there to die. So let me remove the righteous. I truly believe, because it was the will of the Most High to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, if there had been 50 righteous, he would have removed all 50. Because his will was to destroy it. And we have to always remember, thy will be done. This is what I want to happen. I know that you don't want any of the righteous to die, so I'm going to remove the righteous. And I'm going to have what I want. Let's continue here. Look at David. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 12. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. So the Most High told Abraham no by removing the righteous. Because his will was to destroy those cities, but not to destroy the righteous. So he said yes, and then he said no. I'm going to still destroy these cities, but I'm going to hear your prayer, and I'm going to not destroy the righteous that are in the city. Because I am the judge. See how he moved in that way. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 14 through 31. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 14 through 31. Actually, we're going to actually start in verse 1. Because let's look and see what David did. Now, David is a man after the Most High's own heart, but David did wickedness. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll read 1 through 31. And Yah sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks of herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And then, now the Most High is using symbolism here. He don't want to tell David straight out what he's done because he wants David to make his own judgment. So a lot of times the Most High will come to us this way. Doesn't tell us exactly, so that we, out of our own righteousness, pronounce it will be. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd. Now this is the rich man. He's rich. He's got many sheep. He's got many ewes. He takes this poor man's sheep, the only one that he has, his only ewe, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. How dare he? And he said to Nathan, as Yah liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Now David has pronounced his own judgment. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art that man. Thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. I gave you all this. You are that rich man. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yah? Why have you despised the commandments of Yah to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. You did this thing secretly. I'm going to do it openly with you. You lay with Bathsheba in secret. She got pregnant. Then you going to conspire and try to make her husband come home and sleep with her so that you can say that it's his baby. And when he wouldn't go and sleep with his own wife, but you know she's pregnant, then you send him back to the line with his own death warrant. So you did this thing in secret. I'm going to do it in the light of day. Everybody's going to know what's going on. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yah. And Nathan said unto David, Yah has also put away thy sin. You're not going to die. You announced your own judgment, and you were supposed to die. But you confess your sin, so your sin is put away. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion, and this is what we got to understand. Our walk makes a difference before the Most High, and what we do. We can't be calling ourselves righteous and calling ourselves his children and present him our lives to the enemies of the Most High, where they can say, you call yourself a child of the Most High? Your Elohim will let you do that and get away with it? Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme Yah, The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So something had to die. Now David's going to go make a petition. Most I said, you're not going to die. But the child, the product of your sin, the product that is going to allow your enemies to talk evil about me and the man that I chose to put on the throne, that child is going to die. Now, this child hasn't done anything, but the Most High is not going to let it come forth. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yah struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought Elohim for the child, and David hastened and went in and lay all night upon the earth. What do you think he's doing? He's laying there on the earth doing. He is petitioning the Most High. He's going to fast. I need you to have a change of heart. I need your will. I need you to change what you judge. I need for you to spare this child. The child has done nothing. It was me and it was her. And then, you know, she never comes into the picture. That is her fault. Because he's the king. And if she refused him, he could have just had her killed. So she's never a point of, well, you should have said this or that. This is all on David. And David therefore besought Elohim for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house of Israel rose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. I'm petitioning the Most High that he don't kill this child, that his will be not done, that he repent of this act that he has pronounced upon this child that me and Bathsheba have created. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. That was the will of the Most High. David's will was that the child be spared. The Most High's will was that the child would die. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. But they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? David, you asked the Most High, and you've been on your face, and you've been fasting, and you wouldn't eat with us, and praying to the Most High that he not kill this child, that he allows the child to live. Now, if he was doing all this, and he was vexing himself this hard, if we tell him the child is dead, how is he going to act? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. The Most High said, no. My will is that the child die. This child is innocent. It hasn't done anything. But the Most High is sovereign. And David, you and what Bathsheba did, that's making me look bad. That's giving your enemies cause to blaspheme, talk crazy about me. So the child's not going to live. The answer to your petition is no. The answer came back when the child died. Therefore David said unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now look at what David does. He understands. Yah is sovereign. I made my petition. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, changed his apparel, and came in unto the house of Yah and worshiped. He didn't say, oh, I'm losing faith in you, Most High. I asked you to save the child's life, but you wouldn't do it. I don't know if you can be my Elohim now. David got up, washed, anointed himself, and went in and worshiped the Most High. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou dost, hast done, that thou didst fast and weep for the child? While it was alive, the child was dead, thou didst rise up and eat. What you doing, dude? You on your face, and you want the Most High to save this child, and while he was alive, you're fasting and praying and before the Most High, and now we done told you the child is dead, and you done got up and washed and changed your clothes and went and worshiped the Most High, and now you want to eat? Verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether Elohim will be gracious unto me, that the child may live? I made my petition. Maybe the Most High will have mercy upon me. Maybe he will be gracious toward me, extend grace to mine, that the child may live. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Why should I fast? The child is dead. Now the Most High has given me his answer. Can I bring him back again? Shall I go to him and put, but he shall not return unto me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And Yah loved him. Now, David has done a wickedness. The Most High has pronounced judgment. David, you have sinned and given my enemies occasions to blaspheme me by your actions. But because you admitted that you have sinned, that you have done wrong, that you have done wickedly, I'm not going to kill you, because that's what should have happened. David was willful in this thing. I'm not going to kill you, but the product of your sin, I'm going to kill. The child shall not live. The child shall not live and give your enemy, my enemy, occasion to blaspheme me. That is my will. That thing that you did was wicked. And I'm the sword, because you had Uriah killed by the sword is never going to depart from your house. And I'm not altogether through with you yet. But I'm not going to take your life. That is my will. We got to understand that the Most High is sovereign. It is his will that counts. It's not ours. Most High could have said, David, you know what? You're going to die. I'm going to send you out to battle. And I forget who the king was. That pretended that he was another king and made that other king pretend that he was him. And the Most High, I think it was Saul, but don't take the quote me on that. I have to go look this. I remember the story, but I'm not remembering the name. And he shot this soldier, just shot this arrow into the air. And the arrow came down. It just had to be Saul. Or it might have been somebody else. Just understand the story. The arrow came down and killed the king that the Most High wanted killed. Killed him. Because that was his will. Even when we try to do something to circumvent his will, I have determined that you're going to die. Where your enemies think that somebody else is you and going to carry out the sentence on that person. The Most High says, I'm in control of everything. Puts it in this soldier's mind to shoot this arrow in the air, and then the Most High guides the arrow to fall on who he wants it to fall on. His will be done. So David understands, I made my petition. The Most High answered, and the answer was no. David didn't fall apart. David didn't say, you know what, I can't serve you. You can't be my Elohim anymore. I've lost faith in you because you killed this baby that is innocent. When the Most High answered, then he cleaned himself up, went and got on his face and worshiped the Most High. Thy will be done in heaven and in earth. Your answer is no. I accept your answer. I made my petition. So we've got to understand in all things, his will be done. When we go before him in prayer and we want the Most High to answer our prayers and to act on our behalf, child had done nothing. This child didn't have any say in how it got there. But the Most High says the child has to die. And if we understand his sovereignty, you know, David could have been, he could have reacted an entirely, completely different way. But he didn't. He understood. I made my petition. I asked the Most High to be merciful. I asked him to be gracious. The Most High afflicted the child with a severe sickness that he knew would kill the child. And after 7 days, the child died. David is on his face fasting that entire time and petitioning, making his petition known. Please spare the child. Please spare the child. Please don't take out on this child what I did. The Most High had already spoken. No, my will is that the child will die. David understood the answer no and went in worship rather than running away from the Most High or rebelling against the Most High. The answer is no, David. The child is dead. And David said, let me bring myself back into or bring myself closer to my Most High, closer to my Elohim. Let me go and worship him because he is the creator of everything. He is the one in control of everything. What he wants, he gets. Sometimes I get what I want. You blessed me with the nation of Israel. You gave me Saul out, the throne of Israel. You gave me all of Saul's wives. You have richly blessed me, and when I was blessed, I became conceited. I knew this thing that I was doing was evil and wicked. And when I thought it was somebody else, I pronounced judgment. But when I found out it was me, I repented. And that's why the Most High didn't destroy David. Because there's sin, though, and something has to die, and that child has to die. That child is an embarrassment. That child will cause your enemies to say that you produced a child out of wedlock. That you had a man killed because you slept with his wife and you committed adultery. Uriah. But I'm sovereign. I am the Most High Elohim. And I created you for my pleasure. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And whom I will harden, I will harden. We got to always remember to leave the Most High in his place. He does what he wills. We were created for his pleasure. And so we make our petitions known. And if it's within his will, if it's what he wants done, the answer will come back yes. Not in his will. It's not what he wants done. It doesn't matter what anybody else tries to do. It doesn't matter what the doctors try to do. It doesn't matter what science come up with. If it's his will is going to be done. So we have to always remember to thank him for the blessing he allows to us, the mercy that he extends to us, because he doesn't have to do it. He could do the opposite. I'm going to harden you. I'm going to make you disobedient. I'm going to give you that heart so I can judge you. Because you think you're big and bad enough that you can judge me. So let me make you do what I want you to do that I might judge you. Let me harden your heart where you won't worship me. Let me harden your heart where you will curse me. Let me harden your heart so that you're going to do so I can bring about my will, because now I want to judge you, and not in a good way, because your heart is not right before me. That's why it was very important how David responded. I have sinned. Saul said, the people made me do it. He's the one that was told to go kill everybody. Make sure that this is done. Don't let nothing live, man, woman, or child. No animals. Everything that the Amalekites have, kill it. And he was disobedient. He didn't do it. And then he blamed the people. He didn't say, I have sinned, like David. The people, he pointed at somebody else. This is their fault. God says, so I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And you're going to die. You have been disobedient. You wanted your will and not mine. Differences in attitude. Differences in their understanding and their perception of the Most High. David knew. David, you know, Bathsheba must have been something else. Because David knew. But he thought he could do this thing in secret and the Most High wouldn't know. How he thought that, maybe he thought that because he was the king, he could just do whatever he wanted to do. Maybe he'd become puffed up. He was sure quick to pronounce judgment on that unrighteous rich man who took the poor man's little ewe sheep and killed it and served it to his company when he had all the sheep that belonged to him. David was quick to judge him. And when the Most High said that, it's you, David. You are that rich man in this story. Because if they had said David came right out and confronted him, David might have tried to make excuses. He might have tried to justify it. So we see that David gets on his face, he fasts, and he makes a petition. You spare me, Most High. Please spare this child. The child is innocent. The child hasn't done anything. My will is that the child dies. We pray this prayer all the time. Thy will be done. Do we really believe it and mean it? Because as soon as our will, we don't get what we ask for. A lot of the times we want to feel like, hey, we're not righteous. We didn't, you know, the Most High doesn't hear our prayers. Could he allow that? How could he do that? How could he allow that to happen to that baby? We got to understand that he is sovereign and he will do what he will do. Look at Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just looking at different people who the Most High said no to. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verses 1 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of Yah. I knew a man in Mashiach ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Elohim knoweth. He's talking about, hey, I knew somebody. I don't know if this was a vision or whether it was real. I don't know, but Elohim knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Elohim knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul is saying, hey, I heard some stuff from this person that was caught up unto the third heaven, and I can't repeat the stuff he said. It's not lawful for me to say what he said. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmity. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Something going on. I got a thorn in my side. I got a temptation, and I want the Most High to remove it. But I'm not going to be puffed up in that the Most High has chosen me. I'm not going to be puffed up to think that if he does this thing and people look at me that I'm more than I am, that I'm, you know, that they start to worship me. Or that he hears of me. And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. I heard something, and if I repeat this thing, I might be trying to show that I'm wise beyond my imagination. I have an understanding that none of y'all have. And you might start looking at me a certain way and trying to exalt me above measure. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Whatever this is going on with Paul, and I believe it's with his eyes, maybe he had Roman eyes. When I say by Roman, not Roman the Romans, but roaming eyes. These eyes should be exalted above measure. So Satan has come to buffet him and tempt him with this thing, and he knows that he has to remain humble. For this thing I besought Yah thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Now Paul is chosen to bring the changes to the law into the new covenant, to explain what the Most High and what Messiah wants and how it affects the new body, the body of Messiah, his church. And he's given as an apostle to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And he's shown revelation knowledge that it was not lawful for him to teach. And in his mind, this temptation, he's being tempted by Satan. That's why he says, I'm being buffeted. Let me make myself appear to be all this in a bag of chips. Because Paul is having a hard time being accepted by the early church. Messiah after Messiah rose in a vision, but he didn't walk with Messiah like the other apostles had. So he's given this revelation type of knowledge, but it's not lawful for him to tell anyone. See, sometimes the Most High shows you something that's just for you. It ain't for everybody, but you might be tempted to tell people. See what the Most High showed me? See, he ain't showed y'all none of this. Become puffed up. Paul asked three times. Because I asked, I besought, I went in prayer. I petitioned the Most High three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Messiah may rest upon me. So Paul has made a petition to the Most High. And the Most High has come back and said, no, I'm not removing that from you. You have to deal with that. Deal with that temptation. It'll make you stronger. Don't you try to use it and become puffed up. Don't become vain. So Paul says, I glory, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak and submitted to Messiah, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. I'm not lower than any of the apostles, though I be nothing. See, this knowledge was going to make him puffed up, vain. Truly the signs of an apostle were done among you in all patience and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. So Paul, with this thorn in his side, and it could very well just been vanity, wanting to be recognized as someone, wanting to be recognized as being equal with the apostles. As I said, he didn't walk with Messiah. He met Messiah on the road to Damascus. The other ones witnessed Messiah and the miracle, the feeding of the 7 and the 4,000, him walking on the water, him healing people. They got a different testimony. Paul doesn't have that testimony. He can't say, yeah, I walked with him. Paul's testimony is, I was out to do the church of the Most High, and I thought that these people were heretics. They were going against the law. And their leader, we crucified. So I met him on the road to Damascus. So many things are you going to suffer for my sake. How many of us could take being beaten for the gospel? How many of us could be told something by the Most High that would make us appear to be chosen and above everybody else? And we're told, hey, you cannot say this. Even though we told you and showed it to you, you can't reveal this. You can't puff yourself up that way. How many of us could be stoned or chased from a city or beaten, killed, actually, left for dead for the word of the Most High, for the gospel? Paul said, I got this great knowledge. Because the Most High had to give Paul an understanding of the law, the true meaning and purpose of the law. So that when he rewrites the contract, when he puts the contract down in words, that he can write it in a legal manner. Paul was a lawyer, a Pharisee of Pharisees. You can bring in a change to the law. I can't use those other disciples because they have no understanding of law. But you're a lawyer. You're well-versed in the scripture and the law. You at least know it. Now, let me retrain you in it. Let me show you some things to give you understanding. Let me reveal to you some prophecies, some things that were written long ago so that you have understanding in how I am moving. And I need my law to read this way. And in the past, I used hardcore laws written down for them to follow, and they wouldn't obey. Now, I just want to know what the condition of their heart is. So I want you to write this in such a way that it reveals the person's heart. Will they obey me or not? What is in their heart to do? If I tell them such and such from Torah, and then I have you to write the scriptures in such a way that it's giving them liberty to do something that I told them not to do, will they choose the liberty? Or will they walk in my ways that I've already told them that I want? That's my will. To walk in my statutes, my judgments, my commandments, my ordinances, my laws. If I have it written in such a way to say that you are not up under the law, will they choose not to obey my laws? Is that what is within their heart? Or will they choose to obey? So write this thing. I need to have it written in such a way that it reveals what is in their heart. And I don't want you telling them that. The Most High, they don't think I'm nobody. I appear to be weak because I didn't walk with you. I didn't talk with you. I didn't see the miracles that you did. And I tried to kill your people out of my zealousness to keep the law, to keep your commandments as you gave them to us. I believe that they were heretics. You just do what I told you to do. You remain in that weakened state that you are not anybody, even though you have knowledge that they don't have. Remain humble. But, Most High, just let me show them. Three times, the answer was no. And you're going to suffer all these things for the kingdom's sake. You're going to be beat. Every city you go in, you're going to be chased. Even though you're trying to do a good to them, because of what you did to my people, in your overzealousness, you're going to suffer much for the gospel. He was told this. He said, so I triumph in my infirmities. I triumph in my weakness. When I am weak, I am strong. I keep my mouth shut. I do what he tells me to do. We got to understand that Paul petitioned the Most High, remove this from me. No. Can we hear no? Let's look at our Messiah. Look at Messiah. Matthew chapter 26. Let's go there. The book of Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to start in verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. And the word of the Most High reads, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, now this is Messiah. Messiah doesn't want to go through what he knows he's about to go through. Go back up to verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I don't want to go through this. I know what they're going about to do to me. Let it pass from me. Verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Because they're asleep. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time. Another petition. Praying, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples. Now the Most High's answer was no. The cup is not going to pass from you. The answer was no. Messiah prayed for it. The answer was no. This is my will. If Messiah can petition 3 times, 3 times the answer came back no. Messiah, not my will, but your will be done. Sample. Our example. When we pray, if we're told no, then thy will be done. So we got to understand this and walk in it and do that. Thy will be done. It's always got to come back to his will. Messiah didn't say, well, because you said no, I must be not be righteous. He didn't say, because you said no, I'm going to say this, but you can't be my Elohim. So because you said no and you won't deliver me out of this, I'm losing faith in you. Your will be done. Because it's his will. So when we receive no, if David could receive no, Abraham could receive no, Abraham tried to go around it. If Paul could receive no, when we answer and we receive no, then if we start to lose faith, then that means that it's about us and it's not about his will, but it's about our will. So when Yah says no, we have to walk in that and still give him the glory and the honor and the praise. Still have to worship like David worshiped. Still have to glorify Yah. Because it's his will, and we are here for his purpose. Prayer and no answers, they're common to our walk. Because most of the time we are praying against the Most High and just don't realize. We're praying for our will to be done. And we got to understand that we have to pray for his will to be done. Let's go to Psalm chapter 22. And let's get verse 2. Psalm chapter 22 and verse 2. In the word of the Most High read, O my Elohim, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You're holy, you're sanctified. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. But we're not getting an answer. We need to reaffirm with the Most High, you heard the prayers of our forefathers. You heard my prayers in times past. I'm still going to believe in you because I know that you're an Elohim that answers prayer. But most of the time, the answer is we either don't hear anything or the answer is no. Sometimes we might start to doubt whether Elohim even exists because I made my prayers and my petitions known, but I didn't hear anything back. Does he even hear me? Go to Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Through 3. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 3. To the chief musician, Mashael, for the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Elohim. My soul thirsts for Elohim, for the living Elohim. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? My tears have been my meat day and night. My tears have been my food day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy Elohim? They are your tears. Are you hearing my petition? Are you going to answer my prayer? Your tears are saying, no, you're still crying. And this is where we lie at. This is where we sit at. We might wonder, are you ever going to answer me? Are you ever going to hear my petition? Are you ever going to move to my position? That might be where our heart is at. That's where I meet where our mind is at. But we need to bring ourselves to the understanding that his will be done. We're at 10:56. We're not going to have spiritual wellness this evening. We're going to continue in this topic this evening because I am not through with it. I want to look at Lazarus and his sister with Messiah, and how they petitioned Messiah to come and save him. And the answer was no, for a purpose, that the will of the Most High be done. We want to look at Job, a righteous man, and how evil came upon him and his family. So that we can walk upright with the Most High and understand that it is all about him. It's all about his will. And when he says no to us, we need to still walk in his ways and praise him, not doubt him, not lose our faith, not want to walk away as if we are in control of anything. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, even right now, Father, asking you to, if we are in sorrow, that you remove the sorrow from our heart. That if we have doubt, that you remove the doubt from our heart. That we can give us a heart to walk in your ways and to understand that it's your will that is to be done in the earth. And when you say no, Father, that it, we don't become rebellious and want to rebel against you and not worship you and not serve you and not do your will. Because you said no. You know what is best for us, Father. And we believe that you know what is best for us and that all things work for the good to them that love you, even when it looks evil, even when it doesn't feel good. Messiah knew, Father, going to the cross, what was going to happen to him, and that it was an evil, but that it was going to work for our good. Therefore was he obedient to the cross and to his death to fulfill thy will. Give us, Father, that we always walk in this knowledge that you are in control of everything. You said, is there calamity that happens in a city and I have not caused it? I create light and darkness. I create good and evil. I, Yah, do these things. But there's nothing that happens on the earth, Father, that you don't know about and that you don't allow or disallow to bring about your perfect purpose, whether we can see it or not, Father. Humble us so we might walk before you with joy, that we might walk in your will. And be happy within it. We may not always understand, Father. We may not know what your will is. But whatever it is, our prayer is that it be done in heaven and in earth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. So we are going to continue in this. We're going to look at Lazarus as a story and see how the petition was made and how the answer came back no, for the glory of the Most High. We look at Job and how we can think in our righteousness that the Most High has to always do what we want and that he can't, you know, that he can't allow evil to come upon us because maybe we have become puffed up. Maybe we might think that we know something in a way that we shouldn't know it, that has caused us to become puffed up. So we're going to look at these two stories and ask ourselves, how would we react? Would we walk before him upright and would we give him the glory and would we say when things, like when things are good, thy will be done. But when it seems like we get a no, how come you didn't do my will? May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to place you into. I can just tell you, fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Pray to see you guys this evening for the continuation of part two of this lesson when Yah says no. And where is that at? I need to probably put on my glass.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it. what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you?
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, my sisters. Shalom, family.
Everyone have a good day.
All right, amen. God bless each and every one of you. See you this evening.